grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the epistle from 1 Corinthians. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, something sinister is afoot at the Christian church at Corinth and in the Christian church of America. An essential teaching of the Christian faith is being flat out denied. And what in the world could that possibly be? I'm glad you asked, because the question is addressed in the text today. The resurrection of the body is what is being flat out denied at the congregation in Corinth and in the Christian church of today. Most of the Greeks of Paul's day, and sadly most Americans of today, cannot and will not believe in the resurrection of the body. You remember the scholarly and intellectual philosophers in Athens? Remember that in the book of Acts? They laughed St. Paul off of Mars Hill. They prepared to fit the blessed apostle with a straitjacket and send him to a rubber room when the apostle emphatically declared and proclaimed the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the cemetery on the third day. The Athenian pinheads and the Greco wigheads were willing to give St. Paul a hearing until he preached our Lord's bodily resurrection from the dead. And after Paul preached that bodily resurrection sermon in the book of Acts, these people, these Greeks, they had no use for preacher Paul and his Christian message of salvation that includes the salvation not only of the soul, but also the salvation of the body. The Greeks of the ancient world divorced or compartmentalized what God unites and puts together. God creates body and soul. God loves both soul and body so much that in Christ Jesus, the soul and the body are Good Fridayly redeemed and atoned for. The Holy Spirit holies both soul and body in the word and sacrament by which he delivers Calvary's forgiveness. The Greeks, however, separated body and soul, divorced them apart from each other, and so too today. Many Americans, even in the church, have been Greeked in that they see the body as some kind of prison house that hinders the eternal progress of the soul to some place up there called Nirvana. And so the goal, if you've been Greeked, the goal of one's authenticity is to shed the body, to get rid of it, to dispose of the body forever so that the soul can be set free for an eternal, non-bodily, non-physical existence. With such a presupposition then, the resurrection of the what is meaningless and stupid? Huh? What? The resurrection of the body. Pastor Paul addresses this huge theological problem. In verses 1 through 11 that preceded the text today, St. Paul gave hard physical evidence that over 500 people saw Jesus bodily. They saw Jesus risen from the dead bodily. The resurrected body of Jesus was of real flesh and real human blood that could be seen, touched, and then that ate and drank. A real body that bore the wounds of the Good Friday crucifixion. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection is much more than a spiritual thing. It is also a physical, concrete, bodily thing. It involves not just the soul, but also the body, matter, and spirit. And what God has joined together, we must never separate with our clever reason or any kind of Greek philosophy. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine today if we would confess the creed without confessing what? The resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the body. What if I left that out? Huh? What would you think? Suppose for a moment that there is no resurrection of the dead or no resurrection of Jesus. Suppose that dead bodies will not rise from their grave. What does that mean for you? Does it mean anything for you? I'll be frank and blunt, like I never am. There is no Christianity. There is no salvation. without Easter. St. Paul puts it this way in the text: if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith in Jesus is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. That means it's a waste of time, and you're still in your sins. Brothers and sisters, it's really quite simple. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then my preaching to you for over 21 years has been a total, colossal waste of time. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, you folks are wasting your time here today. And I should have become a PGA golfer instead of going to the seminary to be a pastor. Really, I should have. And you, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, you would have done better to stay at home, pull the covers over your head, catch a couple hours of shut-eye, pour yourself another cup of coffee, check out your Facebook account, Twitter, and Instagram, maybe do some housework, and of course schedule future youth athletic practices and games for every Sunday and all day every Sunday. If there is no resurrection of the body, if Jesus has not been raised bodily from the grave, then the 60% of Americans that claim to be Christian but never attend church are absolutely right in their thinking. In other words, what you believe in your heart then has absolutely nothing to do with how you live your life in your body on Sunday or any other day. If there is no resurrection of the body, then there is no need for Jesus to die and rise bodily. There's no need then for water to be applied to your body in baptism. There's no need then for a spoken word of forgiveness to be proclaimed from a mouth into ears and hearts. There's no need to orally eat bread and wine or to plop your bodies in a pew. All those things go on with the body. But if there is no resurrection of the body, then you can have spiritual life divorced from your bodily life. If there is no resurrection of the body, and if Christ has not been raised, then the preaching of the gospel is worthless, it is meaningless, it is stupidity. What I preach every Sunday, if Jesus hasn't been raised, is utterly nonsensical. Worse than that, it's all a huge lie, as St. Paul says in the text. We then have been misrepresenting God. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we have been fooled by a 2,000-year-old hoax. We have been euchred into the biggest scam and the longest-running lie in history. You want to talk about fake news? That would be it. We would be living under the worst fake news campaign ever. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then we are simply deceiving people about God, and we are holding out false hope to the dying. If the dead are not raised, and if Jesus has not been raised, then your trust in him is misplaced and it is meaningless. If Jesus has not been raised, I ask you this serious question: how can you be sure then that that Good Friday death on the cross was acceptable to God? How then can you be confident that Jesus was God's Son who came to save you? Without the resurrection, you have absolutely no assurance and no confidence that Jesus is your Savior from sin and the grave. Without our Lord's resurrection, Jesus is then no different from Buddha, because Buddha didn't rise from the dead. Muhammad, he didn't rise from the dead. Or any other religious leader. If Jesus did not rise from the grave, then you should just pick any world religion or any modern philosophy that floats your boat, because they all stand then on the same equal footing. If matter and spirit and body and soul are divorceable, then what goes on with your body has absolutely nothing to do with your spiritual life. In other words, you can believe one thing and then do the opposite. You can be a Christian on the inside and then live another way on the outside. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, is the Greek proverb that St. Paul quoted to the Corinthians, if you read his letters. If you've been Greeked, and if you deny the resurrection of the body, then you must do what? You must grab all the gusto you can at this moment. Because after you die, that's it. Or you live your life this way: if it feels good, I'm going to do it, because I like it. Nothing matters. It's nihilism. Nothing matters if there is no bodily resurrection. But I'm here to tell you, as St. Paul tells the Corinthians, that there is a bodily resurrection because Jesus rose from the dead. Christianity then is all about the what? Not just the soul, but also the what? The body. Jesus has created your body. He cares much for your body. Look again at the gospel reading when you get a chance today, later on today. Jesus is doing what in the gospel reading? He's busy doing what? Healing bodies, riddled with diseases and troubled by evil spirits. On the cross, he offers his body sacrificially to redeem your body that he has created. In addition, Jesus really did rise from the dead, bodily and physically, and in him all the dead will rise. And so what goes on with the body matters deeply. That's why, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but stay with me. This is precisely why St. Paul reminds the Corinthians and all of us to flee from something. What is that? From sexual immorality. Why? Because Paul says it is a sin against your what? Your body. St. Paul warns the Corinthians and all of us that we must appear before the judgment seat of God to give an account of what we have done in our what? In our body. St. Paul reminds the Corinthians and all of us that we have been redeemed with a Good Friday price, the body of God's Son nailed to the tree. And that's why Paul says then, glorify God with your body. That's 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 5, in case you're interested. What you do with your body is very important. However, what God does with your body is more important, salvationally important. He baptizes your body into our Lord's death and resurrection life. He puts his divine and saving name on your body like a brand or a tattoo in holy baptism. He speaks his word of forgiveness into your ears and your hearts. He feeds you. He feeds your body with the body and blood of his Son. God claims your body as his dwelling place, his temple. He honors your body with his presence, and God uses your body as his instrument of blessing to other bodies. And though your body will one day fail, die, and decay, God has promised to raise your body and to restore it. He has sealed that promise with the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And so because Jesus has risen bodily, you too will be raised in your body. Yeah, but Pastor, it'll be all decayed. But Pastor, it'll be cremated. He will raise you and give you a body. The one he created. The one he redeemed. The one he sanctified. In addition, our Lord's resurrection is his vindication and your justification. His resurrection, Christ's resurrection, is the Father's approval, his seal of approval of Christ's Good Friday sacrificial dying and atoning work. By raising Jesus from the grave, God the Father showed the world that he is indeed pleased with his Son's death as the redemption price for you and the world, that all of your sin is covered by Christ's blood on the cross. Finally, then, Jesus, as Paul says in the text, is the first fruits of them that sleep. The first fruits of the dead. Jesus has done what no one else has ever done. He died and he rose from the grave, never, ever, ever to die again. Jesus alone is the resurrection and the life. He is the way to eternal life because he rose. So I'm here to tell you that Jesus alone can be trusted with your what? Not just your life, but what else? Your death. Are you afraid of dying? You may be. Learn to trust Jesus even with your death, because he has risen from the dead, and then he will raise you as well. Death does not have mastery over Jesus, and therefore death does not have mastery over you who believe in him. So let me say it one more time. Because our Lord's tomb is empty, he has covered all of your sin, and you are forgiven, and you are redeemed, and your body will be raised for eternal life on the last day. So, brothers and sisters, what is the worst thing in the world that can happen to you, huh? What is the worst thing that anybody can do to you? What is there left to fear in this world if death and the grave have been defeated? Is it poverty? Is it sickness? Is it violence and persecution? Is it cancer? Is it hunger? I'm here to tell you there is nothing in this world to fear because Jesus is the first fruits of them that sleep. And so now your life in this world has meaning. There's now meaning to your suffering and sorrow and sickness because Jesus preached it this way today in the gospel. Blessed are you who are poor, hungry, weep, hated, excluded, reviled, and spurned. Why? Because you have everything to look forward to, everything to hope for, everything to receive, as Jesus says in Luke. Your reward is what? Heaven itself. Your future is bright, brothers and sisters. Your future is filled with hope, brimming with promise, so do not despair. Jesus has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. And you, the baptized believer, will raise bodily, just as Jesus has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to eternity. This is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.